Episode 2, Wandering the Path That Twists and Turns. Merry meet, and welcome back to In the Broom Closet with your incredibly quirky host, me, Elwyn Winters. So last week I made a podcast to explain my absence slash really, really, really late episode 2 uploading, and on top of that, I still owe everyone the quick version of episode 1 to avoid the trigger content, and I've decided to give you all that information at once. I was raised Christian, but because of a lot of negativity in my church, I left, got depressed, went through some issues with myself and my family, and was kind of pulled out of it when I accidentally discovered Wicca in 8th grade. I had a horrible Christian boyfriend, and a backstabbing best friend my freshman through sophomore year of high school, and these relationships strengthened my faith in Wicca. I started dating a great guy, who will be referred to as Bill for the remainder of this podcast, my junior year, and we graduated high school together, went to college together, and made a new friend, Myra, who I converted to Wicca on accident. I am now in college and practicing more, but I'm still not fully open about it. A couple months ago, I was on my computer, on my bed, got up to get something to drink, and accidentally kicked my computer right off my bed. The screen was completely shattered, and when I managed to get it running, everything on the hard drive was either gone or compromised. I couldn't transfer anything onto a flash drive, so I've lost quite a bit, and I'm really not too happy about that either. Now, that last episode was much less religious-based than this podcast is intended to be, but I did that so I can make this episode to really explain how I started in Wicca, and where it took me. I was also afraid that if I combined the two episodes, it would run longer than I wanted it to. My start in Wicca was overwhelming. As I explained in the previous episode, that some of you may have not heard, I spent a lot of time in 8th grade hiding out in my room and writing stories. The story I remember writing at the time was about a mother and her two daughters who were witches and forced to move to Salem, Massachusetts. I wanted realistic spells and rituals in the book, and I was inspired by the House of Night series. So I started searching the internet for something I could use. I found a link, I can't remember what for, and upon clicking the link, I came face to face with Wicca. It was just a word on the screen, but it was a word that I hadn't heard before, and out of curiosity, I googled the definition. Wicca is a nature-oriented religion that has practices from pre-Christian religions and witchcraft, and it balances male and female energies. That hooked me. I am a nature lover who came from a patriarchal religion, so the balance of male and female energies was really important to me. I spent hours online, barely sleeping that night, trying to understand this new faith and write it all down in a journal. I read about practices, beliefs, deities, and had absolutely no idea what to believe. One source said that you could only be a Wiccan if you were born into the faith. One claimed you had to follow the Wiccan Rite. One said that the only deities you could follow were the threefold goddess and horned god, while another claimed that any deities were acceptable to follow. It was so confusing. By the end of the first day, I thought my head was going to explode with all the contradicting information. I looked into the threefold goddess first, which I later found is very normal for those coming from patriarchal religions. I would also like to note that I have been calling her the threefold goddess for the 6 years I've been practicing, and I will continue to call her such, but she is also referred to as the triple goddess. She is represented as a maiden, mother, or crone, and her symbol is the waxing crescent, full, and waning crescent moons together. The maiden represents new life, youth, and creativity. The mother represents nurturing, adulthood, and giver of life. The crone represents the end of a cycle, wisdom, transformation, and prophecy. I felt such a strong pull to her that I started drawing her symbol on things that I wanted her guidance on. Homework not getting done? Draw the moons. Depression acting up? Draw the moons. It made me feel like she was always right there with me to help when I needed it. Then I looked up the horned god. He is the god of the hunt, life, and death, cycles, and reincarnation, and his symbol is a circle with a half circle on top, showing in a very basic manner a person with horns. In October, the horn god dies, leaving the earth cold and lifeless until late December when he is reborn again. He always returns for the goddess, and that's when we celebrate Yule. I learned much later, which would have been only a few months ago, that some Wiccans choose three goddesses as representatives of each phase of the goddess. A common grouping is Persephone as the maiden, Demeter as the mother, and Hecate as the crone. This didn't stick with me so much, so I just see her as a single goddess that phases throughout the year. Then I looked into the Wiccan Rite. It was a great starting place for me to help me understand some basic guidelines for Wicca. I don't really want to call them rules, but that's what I saw them as at the time. Coming from Christianity, I thought every religion had a very strict set of rules, and I needed them back then. The Wiccan Read calls for practitioners to give and take fairly. It directs how to practice, what the direction of the wind means, what specific types of wood are used for, the cycles of the moon, and even the wheel of the year. It's very extensive, and even if you don't follow it, at least take the time to read it. The one part of the read that I had such a hard time with personally was the part, "And ye harm none, do what ye will." I struggled with it because I felt it was impossible to go through life without hurting anyone. I also believe that sometimes if someone has really wronged you, you should do something about it. You can't get through life with sticks and stones mentality. Sometimes you just have to hex someone. Sometimes when someone is being a horrible person to you and everyone else, you have to give them the worst case of acne they've ever seen. But only sometimes, because I also believe that you should never hurt someone just because you can, or out of pure anger and rage. So for the most part, I used to follow the read, but have since grown away from it because I don't need it anymore. After that, I wanted to know what type of Wiccan I was. I had read about Hereditary, Alexandrian, and Gardnerian Wicca, but I knew that I didn't fit into just one of those. After more research, I realized I was classified as an eclectic Wiccan. I took from many different branches of Wicca and used them in my path. For example, I ask Greek, Celtic, and Egyptian deities for aid when I feel I need them. I read divinations, talk to spirits, make potions, meditate, use my entire house as my sacred space, and recently, I've gotten more into practicing ceremonies and rituals for the Wheel of the Year. These practices don't all come from the same branch, which is why I call myself eclectic. Now this is where I cut myself off the first night. I was exhausted. That was hours of studying and writing, and I was passing out at my computer, so I went to bed. The next month or so, I did light research when my mom wasn't around, looked into different ways that others practiced, and created my first Tumblr, where I saved posts that showed me how to write sigils and similar practices. One of the aspects of Wicca that I discovered very quickly was how open it was about a lot of topics, one of which was sex. As an ex-Christian, it was very hard for me to stomach that. I was opening links thinking I was going to find a cool new spell, only for it to be sex magic. It was also really hard because I was 14 and didn't think that I should be learning about that at the time. I got much more accustomed to it during the months I stayed with my aunt. My aunt had just had a baby, and I was staying with her to help her take care of her baby and her house while her husband worked. She had a difficult pregnancy and a traumatic birthing process and needed the extra hands. I was happy with the arrangement because I got the computer and old-school flip phone that I shared with my sisters for the summer. I didn't have my mom looming over my shoulder as I was on the computer, so I was freely searching the internet for anything Wicca. And it was liberating, and if I didn't have that time away, I don't know that I would have stuck with Wicca. In high school, I didn't research as much. I focused on trying to meditate, which I wasn't very good at. And boy, do I have some interesting stories to share. One night I was trying to follow a guided meditation to find my spirit animal. Guided meditations work better for me because I mostly meditated at night when my family was sleeping, and the voice kept me from drifting off. On this night, the voice said to imagine myself floating above my body in the clouds, and imagine the clouds forming into an animal. That animal was supposed to be my spirit animal. I did as they said, but the clouds didn't form into one animal. Instead, there were foxes, eagles, rabbits, spiders, horses, and more animals that molded out of the clouds and danced around me. I enjoyed it, but it was confusing. Then I had this weird sensation of being pulled into a forest. And in the forest, I landed on a dirt path that I followed to a little cottage. The door was wide open, and inside I could see a table and chairs and a woman walking around. I went right in, and the woman poured a cup of tea and set it in front of me. I remember she was young and beautiful, but I can never remember specific details about her. I don't know who she was, and I was a little speechless. She giggled at me and said she wanted to visit with me a little. I asked who she was, and she gave me a kind smile and said she was the threefold goddess in the form of the maiden. She thought I would be more comfortable talking to a maiden rather than a mother or a crone. Then she told me to have faith. I was on the right path, and she was proud of me. She excused me, and I walked backward through the forest to my body where I sat straight up and wide awake. It felt so real. And even if I imagined it, that was the moment that really validated my faith, and I always look back to it when I'm struggling. That was also when I knew the threefold goddess was her own goddess and not made up of different goddesses, at least in my mind. And when I knew calling her by the threefold goddess was okay. Another quick story that comes from my high school days also happened while I was meditating late at night. This was another guided meditation, but I had the TV on in the background, and I was sitting with a blanket over my head to keep the light from distracting me. It was a pretty basic guided meditation that was supposed to help me release stress. I was comfy and relaxed until I got this weird feeling that something was watching me. Since converting to Wicca, I have to say I've become more sensitive to spirits and energies, and I thought a spirit was trying to reach out to me. I sent out a mental message that I was available to talk to if they had something to say, but I wasn't going to be used or open to negative energies. Nothing happened. I didn't feel a change in the energy, and I didn't feel like it was reaching out to me or trying to respond. I decided to open my eyes to see if maybe I was imagining it, or maybe one of our dogs wandered into my room and I was mixing energies up. I came face to face with my younger sister, Kate, and thoroughly scared the crap out of both of us. Turns out she couldn't sleep and noticed my TV was on. She thought she could come into my room and sit and hang out for a bit, but when she walked in and she saw a blanket over my head, she felt a little freaked out. She tried talking to me, but I had headphones in and didn't hear her. So for those of you who meditate in the broom closet, act like you're sleeping. No one questions a sleeping person, but everyone questions a strange blanket ghost that doesn't answer when you talk to them. It was around this time that I graduated high school. It took me that long to research all of this, partially because it's a lot to look into and partially because being in the broom closet made it really hard to maintain a constant study flow. After high school, I got a job that left me a lot of time to listen to my music. I started listening to podcasts when the music got to be too boring. One podcast that was and still is a favorite of mine is Let's Talk About Myths, Baby. The host, Liv, retells Greek myths with hilarious, sarcastic comments about toxic masculinity. For one of her October episodes, she was talking about how Hecate helped Demeter to find Persephone after she entered the underworld. And Liv mentioned Hecate was depicted with three faces or three forms, she had familiars, and was the goddess of witchcraft and magic. Because of Liv, I decided to look into Hecate. So I did a lot of research into Hecate because of how interesting she was. For starters, I discovered Hecate's origin is believed to predate the Greeks, as in a civilization older than the Greeks introduced their faith to the Greeks, and she stuck around when other aspects of that faith faded out. Hecate is the daughter of the titans Perseus and Asteria, and the goddess of wilderness, witchcraft, and magic. Along with playing an important role in Persephone's story, Hecate also impacted Hecuba, the queen of Troy. After Troy fell, Hecuba tried to escape into the sea to avoid being raped and enslaved by the Greeks. Hecate took pity on the woman and turned her into a black dog, making Hecuba one of Hecate's two familiars. The other familiar was a polecat, which, for those of you that don't know, is actually a ferret. The polecat was originally a midwife to Alcmena. The midwife angered Hera by allowing Hercules to be born, so Hera turned her into a ferret. Hecate adopted the ferret as her familiar, thus gaining two. Hecate in her three forms is typically shown as three bodies, all her own, facing out triangularly, so she can see in all directions. In this form, she is said to guard the crossroads. Taking all this into account, I feel it's easy to see why many believe that Hecate and the threefold goddess are based off the same figure, if not one based off the other. In college, I tried to study more, find and perform more spells, and generally had a hard time with it. I couldn't have candles, didn't have enough money for all the herbs and jars I wanted, I didn't even have a window to make moon water. So I got into divinations. Myra and I visited our local herb shop together to get me my first tarot deck, the Wicca deck. I used it to give my friends readings, and they were scary accurate too. A girl in my dorm let me do a reading, and it made allusions to new beginnings that were scary, but she should nurture these changes to help them grow. She was worried she was pregnant at the time, which I only found out later. She wasn't, but she got a new job the next week. So, fair warning, your readings might not always be straightforward. The readings are more often just loose metaphors for what can happen. I was living in an on-campus apartment for the past year, and though it was better than the dorms, it was still difficult to practice. I couldn't have candles, even though I did, and I tried to perform some rituals and spells. One of the worst parts of living in that apartment was that my smoke detectors were hypersensitive at the worst times. I never knew when they were going to freak out. I could be cooking eggs and the damn thing would go off. When I actually accidentally caught something on fire, nothing. It was annoying, and I was scared to light candles. So I got back into meditating and card reading and tried some tea readings, which I'm not very good at right now. The symbols can be hard to decipher, but practice makes perfect, right? Now, I have moved into a new apartment with Belle and a friend of ours. It's 3 bedrooms, because my parents honestly believe that Belle and I won't share a room. So the spare room will be my room if they ever visit, storage for whatever we don't need in the bedroom, and my altar room when I get furniture in it. It's really exciting to be progressing in the craft like this after how many years I had to be stagnant to stay safe. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. As of right now, Anchor tells me that in the past couple of months, the podcast has had 80 plays. 94% of those plays come from the US. The other 6% are from Australia. For me, that's super exciting. My podcast has gone international. In Australia, my listeners are listening from Fruville and Adelaide. I really apologize if I messed those names up. So if you're listening to this and you're from these regions, know that you have made me so incredibly happy today. In the US, listeners are from Wyoming, North Carolina, Texas, Oregon, Georgia, Ohio, and Colorado. Shout out to my fellow Wyomingites. Wish I knew more of you personally and we can meet up sometime to talk. Also, this podcast is available on every major platform. That's Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, Overcast, Anchor, Google Podcast, Radio Public, Breaker, Pocket Cast, and Apple Podcast. There might be more, but those are the ones I got emails about. You can get a hold of me through my email, earthchild1998@gmail.com. My Instagram is in the broom closet, as is my Tumblr. Amino and my all-new Twitter account are both Elowen Winters. Look me up, people. I need more friends. Have a blessed day, and I hope you join me next week for episode 3, Closet Craft Tips. Merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again.